Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In everything, there is a structure, and there is the soul. Call it the essence. Call it the essence. Call it the spirit. Everything has got that. Islam also has got a structure, and it's called an essence or the soul. So what is the essence, what is the soul of Islam? We know about the structures, but what is the very essence, the very gist? So we know that, and we know how to work from there onwards. The very essence of Islam is promoting of love. Number two is to think, to work towards propagating the greatness of Allah, bringing in ourselves, understanding ourselves, and talk about it. So this is the very essence of Islam. One is promoting of love. Love and kindness. Not just love, but love with kindness. Otherwise, it's a time of misconstruing. People have got the tendency of misconstruing things. And they make it appear like how they want it to be. Not like how Allah Ta'ala wants it to be. And not like how Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants it to be. But how their minds want it to be. So they'll try and fit it accordingly. So everything that happened in the Bani Israel would happen in this Ummah as well. Right? In the Bani Israel, a man found his wife to be guilty of some crime. So the tartib in the Bani Israel was quite different. There was a mountain there, and if a person speaks a lie at that mountain, then his face turns black straight away. So the wife is guilty, obviously, and she is guilty of this extramarital affair, right? She is guilty about it. When she is guilty, her husband challenged her, right? Let's go to that mountain and let's see what happens. So as they approached that mountain, her boyfriend was there. So he did as though he is the one that is in charge of taking passengers through. So he's already planned and already pre-organized and designed. So when they reach the mountain, so he says to this, as the woman is trying to climb up or ride onto the animal, then as though she slipped and she fell. When she fell in such a way that all her clothing of the body and her naked body became apparent. So now it was time for them to take that oath that one that lies, his face must be turned black. Right? So the woman takes an oath. If there was anybody else that had seen this woman's body besides me, the potter, the husband, and the wife, then the face must be turned black. Now the face is not turning black. But you see, this game they played. Somehow to legalize, make permissible, turn things around. So it's going to happen. And it's going to happen, then the more important thing is that what should we be doing? under the circumstance, what are we supposed to be doing? So I've been thinking about it for some time now. You know, so many things happening, so many things, that it leaves you perplexed now. Okay, what do you do? Turn one side, there's one problem. You turn the other side, there's another problem. But really, what are you supposed to be doing? So there's one Quranic ayat and one hadith that came before me that I would like to share. So the Quranic ayat is, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That if there is a controversy in any matter and you can't reach closure, the controversy is carrying on, then what are you supposed to be doing? Then refer it to the Quran and refer it to the wordings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In his life to him, and after him will refer it to his teachings. So if we look at photography, right, then we'll try and discuss it. But in spite of us discussing it, we can't arrive to any type of a closure. Because one person is saying something, the other person is saying something else. And each person's arguments seem to be valid. But what do you do? How do you bring a closure? So the safest route is, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Refer it to Allah Ta'ala and refer it to the Rasul. Look at the text, what the text says. One is an interpretation and one is the text. But we can't reach any type of a closure, then we go back to the text. What does the text say? So the text is saying, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُصَبِّرُونَ. That the worst form of punishment that's going to be inflicted on the day of Qiyamah is the people that are taking pictures of animate objects. So, now it's such an easy way to get out of the whole thing. Either if you go to the text, you will go on taqwa, and definitely if you go on the text, you will go on fatwa, and without doubt you will go on taqwa as well. Because there may be some remote situation about some permissibility, whether it's for an ID or something, whatever else, right? But then if you go on the text, then this is what's going to happen. So whenever there's going to be a conflict, then there'll be an exit. A conflict, there'll be an exit. But it is just for us to apply our minds, and you will find the exit. This is a plan of Allah Ta'ala. When there's a crisis, then there's an exit. There's a problem, then there's an exit, right? A boy comes up of age. When he comes up of age, then he's got biological changes, right? So his whole body is going to some change, major changes. So when the body is going through major changes, Allah Pak has created an exit for him. So it is just for him to find the right exit and carry on. Otherwise, what an exit. If he's created you, then he created hunger within you, then he's created a solution for the hunger. Eat and satisfy yourself. So if he's created a situation, a crisis, then he's created a solution as well, right? There isn't a situation where a situation comes about and there is no solution. There must be a solution. But it's just for us to look for the solution, and we don't look for the solution, and then we say, no, too hard. The heart is in your mind. Really, there's nothing hard. It's just for us to search, look around, and you'll find a suitable solution to any situation that you come across. When I say the hard and the difficulty is in your mind, the reason for it is that we listen too much to propaganda. وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. A lot of hurtful things will you have to hear. Someone is saying this, someone is saying something else. So Allah Pak is saying, as in advance, that you're going to be listening to these things here. But what must you do? وَإِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا you maintain your composure. Be firm. Sabr got about 5 or 6 meanings, right? The root meaning is to resist, to remain firm, to maintain composure, not to lose yourself. So don't you lose yourself, maintain your composure. Right? Sometimes this happens that some person will make a statement and it will be like a freak statement, right? So you don't hold the person for the freak statement that he made. Right. Umar radiallahu anhu, when Hatib ibn Abi Balta radiallahu anhu, when he leaked out some information, right? So Umar radiallahu anhu requested Rasul Pasasim, Ya Rasulallah, Da'ani Adribu Unuka Hadal Munafik. Called him a Munafik and wanted to chop off his head. So Rasul did not stop him from calling him a munafiq, but explained to him, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِتَّلَعَ عَلَى أَهْلِ بَدَرٍ. Allah Ta'ala looked at the Badriyin and he said, قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ, I've forgiven all the last of you. So that one statement he made, the catalyst was right. The catalyst was that outwardly it would seem, apparently it would seem that he betrayed Islam. And Umar radiallahu anhu went by the Zahir, نَحْكُمُ بِالزَّوَاهِرِ, that you betrayed Allah Pak, His Rasulullah Paksan, and all the mu'mineen. Until Hatib ibn Abi Balta explained, since you see, I'm a Yemeni, I come from Yemen, right? The Qurayshis that have accepted Islam, they got their families. So if there is a situation, their families are coming to the rescue, coming and helping them. And I've got nobody. So I thought that أَجْعَلُوا لَكُمْ يَدًا, I will do them a favor, and because of the favor that I will do, they will treat my family and my property correctly. They won't usurp my property. They won't hurt my children and my wife. That's why I did it. I didn't do it, wallah, because I was betraying Islam, or I had any doubt about Islam, nothing like that. It was just in the interest of my family that I did whatever I did. And Rasulullah SAW testified what he's saying is the truth, but then the verses were revealed, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِي وَعَدُوَكُمْ أَوْلِيَا. Right. So what we are getting at is this, that the essence of Islam, what is the essence of Islam? One is the promotion of love, promoting love. Love and kindness, that's the essence of Islam. And number two, the azmat of Allah Ta'ala, bring it ourselves firstly, bring it, behaving it, speaking about it. That's the essence of Islam, these two things. If you condense the whole Islam, then these are the two elementary things that Islam will constitute. Love and kindness, and number two, the azmat, the greatness, the majesty of Allah Ta'ala at any given time. I still have to see a person who had designed his life between these two elements that was a loser. He was never a loser. All right, he had some slips and falls and all that, but he had the azmat, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala at heart, and he was kind and he was loving towards people. Allah Ta'ala saw him through, no matter what he was, what background he's coming from, but he kept this before him. So there are hadiths upon hadiths, stories upon stories of this promoting of love. One story comes to mind of a woman, right? So this is a woman and her sister-in-law just comes into the house. And you're talking of now a story of a woman about over 100 years ago, right? So this is the woman and this is the sister-in-law that just came in. So obviously the daughter wants to be most privileged. Women have it, you know. There's like rivalry that I must be the chosen person, right? I must be loved, I must be liked, I must be respected, right? And this one mustn't overtake me, right? So they'll do things in some way or the other just to re-emphasize that, see, I'm the favorite. You come, but you just stay in your place. Don't you overstep the mark. So they are saying these things, but by their behavior, not with their actions.
We can't fall in their fights.
But when the person has got the essence of Islam, then you don't have to teach him every step of the road. He's got the essence, he's got the nucleus of Islam. A situation comes about, you know exactly what to do under the situation. Now that is provided you've got the essence. If you don't have the essence, now you're looking hadith upon hadith, ayat upon ayat, but you don't have the essence. When you don't have the essence now, you're going in all different directions, you're looking for an explicit answer for this situation, explicit thing for this, you don't have the essence. You've got the essence, now you will get it right. Somehow or the other, it'll come out right. Now, I can remember those days, maybe we saw the tail end, right? But there was a lot of constraints. You're talking about our people, say 57, 58 years ago, there was a lot of constraints. I know in that time, 57 years ago, right, you'll be surprised if I tell you that to be taking one chappie's bubblegum was a great thing. Give me a bubblegum today. Give me a sweet today. So things were so tight at that time. Things went so free like we have it today. So you give a child a chappie's bubblegum, say, well, you rather have it yourself. I don't need it. I got enough of this. That's how we'll turn around. But at that time, I remember very distinctly, Marhum Chota Mota Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Bakhfil his grave from Noor. So he used to be working for us in the 61, 62, he used to be working for us. He used to be in the tea room now. So now, as we are going to school or madrasa, we have to pass him and then leave. Right? So we say, Assalamu Alaikum. The moment we say Assalamu Alaikum, then we know our chap is this coming. Alright? There was a class. It was both of the chappies that we will give that salam. But then he'll wait now. Did you say Jazakallah? If we dare not say Jazakallah, bring my chappies back. Perhaps he did understand that you can't make rad of a hadiyah. Can't make rad of it. Anyway, whatever it was. But these people of the old, they had this thing here. Promoting love. Simple, elementary things of Islam, how to promote it, how to get people working on it, how to practice it. They had that in them. We didn't have to teach everything. Give them a broad outline, and it happens. See where the problem comes is. See this verse of the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Besides shirk, joining partners with Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala forgives every sin for whoever He pleases, right? وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Besides shirk, Allah Ta'ala forgives every sin. Then you get shirk khafi. One is shirk zahir and one is shirk khafi. Shirk khafi is when you do things for show, publicity, to be recognized, people must talk about you. That's called shirk khafi. So when you don't have the azmat of Allah Ta'ala at heart, then what happens? When I've done this, I'm going to see now that what type of recognition I have, what type of publicity I get, and how do people respond to this. Now we don't realize that there is a very, very subtle element of the nafs that is playing. Because on the one side we're saying that karne wali saath to Allah Ta'ala ki, Allah Pak is the doer, then I'm not supposed to be worried about publicity, recognition, and how I'm accepted. I mustn't worry about that. I did the work of Allah Ta'ala properly, correctly, to the level of my understanding, I've done it. After that, what was the response? That's not my business. Yes, I'll make dua, I'll also make istighfar, maybe in my delivery or in the work that I've done. Maybe there was some wrong, some mistake. And yaqeenan, there must be some mistake. So I'll make istighfar as well. Like the mujahideen, they did everything. But at the end they said, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. So our mistakes and our oversight, something has happened. Maybe something we can't understand and register now straight away, but we have done something wrong. So do forgive us. So, we're talking of shirk, right? Now, why is shirk taken so serious? Why? Why is it taken so serious? You see, in a state, in a country, right, the worst of crime is called treason. Right? Why? Why is treason called the worst of crimes? So they'll put you away, or they will give you life imprisonment. Because they know you are a threat. You are working against the state. You are cutting through the very existence of the state. When you're cutting through the very existence of the state, right, so you became a threat, a major threat. That you want to overthrow them. See, Pharaoh had the same story. And he said that these people, they only intend to become the leaders here and overthrow you from your land. Right? What's the intention? The intention is to take your seat, to take the throne, to dethrone you and overtake them. So Pharaoh's madness was because of this, that he'll get dethroned. That was his madness. One was the dream, and then he saw the message of Musa alayhi salam, but there was no contamination of nafs here. If there was a nafs, then he could have challenged the nafs with nafs. Or I give this man, take this and carry on. He could have challenged the nafs with nafs. But this is not nafs. See, the Bilqis, she also told her cabinet that, let's see if this man is from Allah Ta'ala or he is a man-made person. He's made up himself. He's a slave of nafs. If he's a slave of nafs, then he'll fall for this. So let me send him a gift. So much of gold, so much of emeralds and diamonds, all that she sent. And Sulaiman alayhi salam rejected it. Sulaiman alayhi salam rejected it totally. And he says to him, "Irji'ilayhim falana'atiyannahum bijunudil la qibala lahum biha." You, let's return this. We don't want a single cent. You come with total submission. When you come with total submission, they will accept you. Otherwise, you'll be cut off existence. So what I'm getting at now is shirk. Why is shirk taken so serious? If you understand treason, you'll understand the seriousness of shirk. Treason works to cut out the very existence of the state. You're working a party, and the party must cut out the ruling party. That's treason. And generally, they can't tolerate. They'll find some pretext, some way to put the person away, or put him behind bars. One of the two will happen. Somehow or the other, they will do it. Right? So, exactly the same, you are working against Allah Ta'ala, as though you are a rival against Allah Ta'ala. You're creating people from His creatures. What are you doing? You're creating people from His creation to be rivalries against Allah Ta'ala. That's the whole idolatry mode. What you're creating creatures to be equals or to be rivals against Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So that's the reason why shirk is taken so seriously, that is an unpardonable sin. Others, Allah Ta'ala, whoever He wishes, He will forgive them. But this, unpardonable, He won't forgive them. So you see, these two things I'm talking about. One is love, promotion of love and kindness. And one is the azmat of Allah Ta'ala. Not your own. Not to establish your own respect and your position and your status. Right? That is why when the Sahaba Kiram, if you hear about their whole lives, Fursanum bin Nahar, right? Talk about them, in the day they are ever ready, whatever direction, whatever khidmat. وَرُحْبَانٌ بِاللَّيْلِ. When the night falls in, and they are like different people, like malaika. They are like malaika, crying, standing before Allah Ta'ala. So that's happening all the time. But Alim Yasab, rahmatullahi, it's nice to read him, but read the essence of the person. Don't just look at the dynamic personality, but look what was the underlying factor. So he is getting invites from governments, from big organizations, universities to come and lecture, for a series of lectures. So when he's being called at that level, then they are making arrangements for him also at that level, 5-star, taxi, chauffeur driven, all those things. But Mullah will say, oh, just leave me at the side of a masjid. Give me a room at the side of the masjid, and let me remain there. Now, what was the reason for Mullah to move away from the hotel and all that, whatever fancies and frills, and to live in the precincts of a masjid? Because he understands that spirit, that igniting, that will come from above. And to get that ignited, I need to be near the ignition. If I'm going to be remaining out, I'm going to remain in the ocean, and I want that to be ignited, I want the people to be ignited, I need to be remain in the precincts where I can easily be ignited. Easily I can be ignited. I need to be here. I can make istighfar, tawbah, turn to Allah Ta'ala, ask Allah Ta'ala's guidance, that what I should be speaking and what I should be refraining from, how must I do it? Allah puts an asar, puts an effect in the talk that I'm giving. So that is Allah Ta'ala, not our doing. Are you remaining there, right, as though you're remaining in the depth of the ocean and you want fire? Does it happen? The depth, it doesn't happen. You have to be in a precinct, in an environment that is conducive. With the environment that is conducive, you'll get the light. So that's why you say, Fursanum bin Nahar, Ruhbanum bin Layl. Fursanum bin Nahar, Ruhbanum bin Layl. Al-Mufti Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh gave one incident of the time of the Sahaba Ikram. It had just elapsed. Sahaba Ikram's time elapsed. Came the Tabi'een, Tabi Tabi'een, and some 100, 200 years had passed. So, now some areas had refused to pay the jizya. See, when you enter into a peace agreement, then you have to give something for that peace agreement, because on the side of the Muslims, they will assure you security and peace. And you will pay for that security and peace, you will pay for it. So, on the side of the Muslims, they will give you aman, security and peace, and you will give something for that security. So, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, 200, 300 years had passed, and they noticed that one area is refusing to give the jizya. They're not giving it like they used to be giving. They were giving at a certain time, and now they're not giving it. What happened? Kahuya. So they sent a whole delegation from the Islamic State to these people here, that you were giving so much, and what has turned you around? Why aren't you giving now? So they met up with the head of that state. So the head asked, but where are those people that used to come before? Where are those people that used to come before? So they asked, all right, just describe them, how they were, what were their features like, what was their appearance like. He says that the horses were thin, slim, not very strong and sturdy. Their clothes were patched. Their scabbards were all torn up, right? Scabbards were all, they themselves were parched, thin, right? And they didn't have very handsome and outstanding features, I think. But when they would step into my kingdom, then a shiver would go down my spine. I'd be shivering. And readily, before they could even ask, would give out the jizya. But now, when you come in, see your horse, the birzon that you got, see how beautiful, how structured that thing is, how beautiful and strong it is. Your swords and weaponry got two beautiful scabbards and coverings. Right? Your clothing is so attractive. But wallah, when you come in, I don't feel anything. Absolutely, I no feeling whatsoever. So this delegation that went said, no, those people are gone now. Hamara Zama says, you can go, you won't get one cent from me. So we trying in different ways to get our recognition back. But then Imam Malik Rahmatullah says, لَيْ يُفْلِحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. The coming generations will only pass, will only get through if they conform to the people of former generations. You conform to that way and you will go through. But you do something of your own. So I was telling you that I found something in the Quran and something in the Hadith, that when there is a whole lot of conflict, a whole lot of disturbance that is going on, what do you do? So one was this that I came across, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. So much of confusion. You get students coming up after the final year. They're doing some takhasus and specializing. And they got worries. We're studying here, but our minds are not easy. We've got turbulence in our minds, and they're asking Mashwara what to do. It puts me in a very difficult position, because they are in institutes already. When they're in institutes, so I can't be speaking out against an institute. Right? we have a degree of respect for everybody. But then his doubts and reservations are valid. The doubts that he's got, the reservations he's got, is absolutely valid. If you hear, listen to the whole story, it's absolutely valid. Now what do you do? So I have to tell them, you know, your concern, the concern that you've got, I think in your best interest is address it directly with your ustads. These are my concerns, these are my problems. We came here for deen, not academic. And deen is what? Deen is to speak about the truth and to propagate the truth, not to give a gloss. Give a too beautiful a gloss and then make it appear right. So that's not what we come for. We come for something else. Anyway, the thing that I found in the hadith was this, that Allah has cursed on several people, right? Several people, they're under divine curse. So who are these people that are under divine curse? Now what is, first must understand, what is a la'nat? What is a curse? So the curse means that the person is distanced from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And when you distance from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَلْعَنِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ نَصِيرًا, you can't find anybody to help you. No help. So your mind is going off. That is, when Allah Ta'ala has left you, your mind will just go off. You don't have the divine assistance any longer. So the assistance comes when there is divine assistance. But the divine assistance has left you. Now your beautiful mind also will work in reverse. It's not going to work right. It's going to work the other way around. As beautiful as your mind may be, but then it will work in reverse. See, so this is the consequence of la'nat, of the curse of Allah Ta'ala. No matter what you try, but when you don't have the help of Allah Ta'ala with you, so the whole mind goes in reverse. Look at the Bani Israel, right? If you look at them on the one side, you want to respect them because they are the progeny of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, right? But then how they changed, how they were derailed, how they were off the course, right? Now they are told, respect the Sabbath. Saturday, respect it. And then they go and play monkey tricks. Allah Ta'ala is giving them, issuing them a command. So now, on the one side, they are the children of Anbiya alayhi wasalam. But then they feel overconfident of themselves and working out tricks against the plan of Allah Ta'ala. Then what happens? Then the command of Allah Ta'ala had to be issued. Kunu qiradatan khasin. Tafsir say that they were changed, transformed into pigs and monkeys, into apes. And when they did this, what happened? Now, exactly the same comes in the hadith. The hadith says that this person also is under curse, who a person from my progeny that halalizes haram. Easiest way to say it, I think, is in the verse of the majlis, right? Halalizes haram. What is halal? What is haram? He tries some way or the other to go around and to make it halal. Now that person comes under divine curse. And I just explained now that the one that comes under divine curse, فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ نَصِيرًا, you can't find anybody, his mind, his very mind, his nucleus will take him off. Can't. You try what you want. So I was explaining that what is the solution to this? First understand the problem, then understand the solution. So I said, the problem is this, that we don't show kindness, number one, and love. Number two, we don't show the respect. We don't show kindness and love. We don't show the respect. So where this thing is starting from? It's starting from two elementary points. One is to refuse. Who's he? The others also. So he's not the only one. So that's the first point that we go off. Who's he? He's not the only one. So why must we listen to him? The others also, this other ulama also. So you see, but the first trigger is, who is he? See, so that means the respect that used to be, that is lost, right? And what triggered the disrespect? Aba wastakbara. See that? What triggered the disrespect was takabbur. The moment you thought something of yourself, then that triggered this type of a behavior. If you refuse, no, I'm not going to do it. So he's employing his reason, his reasoning against the word of Allah Ta'ala. See that? He's employing his reasoning, and there could be some substance in the reasoning. Ana khayrun min خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. But he didn't consider the fact that this is a command that is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it's a command of Allah ta'ala, then how am I supposed to be responding? He didn't think about it. So why he didn't think about it? Because the arrogance had the bet over him, and the arrogance had led him to reject Aba Wastakbar. See what triggered. Now, then what puts things in place? The thing that puts everything in perspective, in place, right? You think about it, Allah will give you a solution, right? The hadith of Jabir ibn Sulaym, or Laqit ibn Sabira, one of the two Sahabis. So he says, I saw a man and people were frequenting him. He doesn't say anything, but people embrace it straight away. So I went up to the person, Rasulullah s.a.w. said, "Lengthy hadith, but I want to just share this point with you." So I went up to Rasulullah s.a.w. and I asked for some advice. So Rasulullah s.a.w.'s one advice was, "La tasubba ahadan." Don't you abuse, insult, swear, don't be derogatory to anybody. That was the advice of Rasulullah s.a.w. to Hazrat Jabir ibn Sulaym or Laqid ibn Sabira. I guess it is that it was Jabir ibn Sulaym radiallahu anhu, right? Now this man is coming from the sticks, right? Now most of you all haven't been in India, right, living in the villages, right? To appreciate this hadith fully, go right in the thick of the village will find it. The words are difficult to say, right? Swear words. But the father is swearing the son. 10 swear words will give Maki or Babki or Sabki. And the son is also giving the same words to the father. And they carry on like normal. To use these swear words, to use this type of vulgarity is normal. But Rasulullah told him, don't you swear, don't be abusive, don't use this type of vulgarity against anybody. Now look at it. He says, after Jabir ibn Sulaym says, that then I didn't swear anybody. La ma sababtu, my sababtu rajulan walam ra'atan wala amatan wala dabbatan. I didn't swear anybody after that. Not a man, not a woman, not a slave, not even an animal. Now then, what was the thing that triggered this type of behavior? See, the only thing that comes to my mind is when he went to Rasulullah Pasim, he went with that level of azmat. That whatever he's going to say, I'm going to just embrace it. In that one meeting, Rasulullah told him that you don't swear, don't be abusive, don't use vulgarity. But that one meeting was sufficient for him. He didn't have to come and ask, "Ya Rasulullah, but this person here, he gets me on my nerve, you know. And can I just use one, two words just to get him off?" He didn't have to ask that. He says, after that, "Ma sababtu rajulan walam ra'atan wala amatan." I didn't use vulgarity at all after that. That was the first day and the last day. It never happened after that. But now, I ask you again, you think about it. What was the catalyst? What was the thing that triggered this type of behavior? That he went full out. He never used the word again after that. The only thing that comes to my mind is the level of ikhlas, the level of azmat and esteem that he held Rasulullah s.a.w. That was the first time and the last time. But now, if we don't do that, if we don't hold the instructor, the mentor, the sheikh, don't hold him in that esteem, then you will not see him in that esteem. You will not say that you hold him equal to a Nabi, but you will not hold him in the esteem that he deserves. When you don't hold him in the esteem that he deserves, then his words will not affect you. Well, he's one, the others also, so now I don't have to listen to him. It's not haram now, though hadith says that I must listen to him, and no Quranic ayah says that I must listen to them. So if I listen or I don't listen, what's the big deal about it? But you see this esteem, respect. I just explained that the two elements, the two, call it the columns upon which Islam rests. One is kindness and love, and one is the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. You got that? I don't see a person going off after that. He may make a mistake in his calculations, but overall, he goes right. And I was explaining the story, you know. Sister-in-law just comes in, and the daughter is there. This is a sister-in-law and the daughter. Call it a daughter-in-law and the daughter, right? And I say, the woman, they have it. They want to be the favorite. I must be the favorite. And my favoritism mustn't be lost. They have it to some extent. Some don't have it at all. some have it. So different classes, different types you have. My one friend passed away in Middleburg. Musa Kadwa was a dentist. So he taken a second wife. You know. So I asked his nephew that, are you taking good care of the second wife and her children? So I know, I understand that. I've heard that has happened. You know, yeah, this is what he did. This is what she did to our mother, you know. A rivalry at this age, when the mother did so much, and then she had to come into his life, to spoil our whole life. But I was shocked when he said, oh, we give her all that she's due, we see to all her needs, whether it is medical, whether it is her upkeep, physical, she needed a house, we put up the house, new house for her, with everything. We treated her equally as our own brother or own sister, we treated her equally. So, alhamdulillah, it's something unique to listen to, but you enjoy that, you know, right? You can't say now we're going to promote second marriages and all that. We don't want to say that, but if it did happen, then to share and to be just and to do the justice at that level, where she doesn't have a proper house, they put up a house for her. They're looking to every expense. You know, I said love, muhabbat, but school hours in zindagi, bring that into your life, and you see your life will go smooth. But you don't have that element of love and muhabbat. They're trying to patch up here, patch up there. How is it going to happen? They bring that love. You know, I was looking at the verse of the Quran Sharif. وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ Be kind. وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى. It ends up with Ibn al-Sabil. Right? It will translate the child of the road. Right? But the given translation is Musafir. But I want to know, how does it apply to us? How does it apply to us? So I thought and I thought and I thought, alhamdulillah, Allah put that explanation in my mind. And I say, the people, our old people, they had this thing in their lives. That Ibn al-Sabil and the kindness to that Ibn al-Sabil was shown. Because I remember in the old, they used to call them reps, right? Gujarati, they would say, Sampalyo. Sampalyo, right? Bad day, that. They say, "Tu to halga sampalyo chen." It's where you learn sampalyo chen. I suppose that rep now is too talkative, you know. To get his business done, he has to be talkative. Doesn't know what he's saying, right or wrong, but he's talkative. So they'll spare the person by saying sampalyo. Anyway. So, what are we talking about? Ibn al-Sabil, yeah. What Ibn al-Sabil? Now, it was a standard that time. I remember my childhood was a standard, right? Any person that comes into the locality, whether I know the person, I don't know him for a bow of soap. But it was like a standard, I must take him home. Feed him, right? If he needs a place to sleep for night, two nights, they will make the provision for him. And they will beg him. You can see that the person is genuine, so you'll want to respond, you'll want to accept his invitation. But the person is not genuine, so I'll be alright, I'll work myself, don't worry. I'll just go to a BP, what BB they call it, right? Bed and breakfast. I'm alright, I'm comfortable. But now why doesn't he accept the invitation? He doesn't accept the invitation because of the mannerism of the host. If the host's mannerism was right, he would have accepted it. As Imam Thanvi Sahib Rahman says, if a new person comes into an area, right, then it's one of two situations. One is he came to see you particularly. So then it's your farz to take care of him. He's Ibn al-Sabil. Then it is your farz to take care of him for at least 3 days. Board, lodge, everything, 3 days you must take care of him. But if he's coming to the area, and by the way he came to see you, right? He's coming to the area, but by the way he was here, he came for a nikah, so he came to see you, right? When he came to see you, then it's farz kifaya. Then the whole locality is responsible to see to it that that person is comfortable and rested well for the 3 days. Now this was a thing that our people had in their lives. But now it's gone extinct. You hardly hear this. Hey man, he's crushing our space. He's coming here now, he's got a parda problem, he's crushing our space. But all this used to happen. Once upon a time it used to happen. Every home used to have it. And they would be very eager. They would take an exception if you don't come to the house and have a meal. They sleep at the place, they would take exception to it. So they had that muhabbat, they had that love, and they had the spirit of kindness So they didn't have to be taught, no, hey, do this, like I'm explaining the whole thing now. Now it has to be explained. And that time it wasn't a need to explain it. That's why I advise my brothers, my friends, if you're building up a house, then put up a small guest quarter as well. Some guest comes in. Now you don't want him to feel restricted in his space and his movement. So you put up a small guest quarter. If he came alone or he came with his family, he can rest, a small little kitchenette, whatever he needed for the day, they're eating in their privacy and comfortably. You're doing your thing, he's doing his thing. But if you can spend so much on the facelift, to revive a sunnah, can't we do something about reviving a sunnah? See, in that time, I remember that time, any person's house you go, they won't do up the kitchen. Sorry, that's how I feel affected, not picking out anybody. I'm just showing you what used to happen in the past. They won't do the kitchen, they won't do the bedroom, and the toilet, the bathroom will be the last thing that they will do. Now, you ask the person, all right, see, I'm doing my bath. How much? 200,000, 300,000, just to do the bath. Why are you spending that amount of money? No, it doesn't look too good. But now you ask the same person, be kind, be generous. People that are around you, whether it's Muslim, non-Muslim, but show that level of kindness. Are we doing that? What are we supposed to be doing? Every area we're not supposed to be spending on, we are spending. And the areas that we're supposed to be spending upon, we're not doing it. I ask you, in the qabr or in the hereafter, will Allah Pak ask you, Ismail bhai, you did your kitchen up. You know, it made a gunai kabira. You didn't even do your kitchen up. All the years that you were living and you didn't do your kitchen up. And your body is in a putrid state, you know. You should have done that thing. Today I'm going to punish you. Do you ever hear that? You don't hear that. Yes, you took care of the poor, underprivileged, whether you have to go and see him and give him some food, whatever else, you did all that. So, that which was supposed to be done and we had to spend upon, we're not spending in those areas. We're not showing that kindness, that love, that muhabbat. And where we're not supposed to be spending, then we're spending on that areas. That means there's something wrong in the wealth. As Abdul Qadir Jilani says, when I see your expenditure, I understand your income. When I see your expenditure, I understand your income. So it will mean that the people in the past, they didn't have too much of knowledge, but the income was quite pure. Therefore, we'll be inspired to spend in these type of areas, all the good areas. Spending on this one here, on that one, third person, fourth person. One woman passed away recently. So one person now came to tell me the experience that he had, the dream that he had after that. Average, not too pious, but what he's seen was that woman was in a good state, number one, and her lips were moving with zikr, whatever else, but she was showing the kindness to the guest. She was showing the kindness, the hospitality, that they were eating well, they were comfortable. So what he's showing, that one side you got the azmat of Allah Ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, but you didn't forget the hospitality, the kindness to the guest that you're supposed to be showing. Somehow you dragged him, brought him home, let him stay there, let him enjoy day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever the case may have been, let him enjoy. Now if they're going to move away from this style, this culture, and go and book in hotels, ask you what culture they'll have. In a few years, what will be the culture? Then the culture will be like going to eat in a shop, or you're going to eat in a hotel. What you say, not haram, but alright, we don't say it's haram. But then what will be the thinking of that? Now that culture requires that you dress up according to the ambience of that place. So the woman has to dress up like that, the man has to dress up like that, they have to eat like that. So they're not comfortable, not in the precincts of the house. Now that culture has crept in. That woman is going to be coming up like that. Now I fright to think now, that woman got married after a few years. How is she going to cope up? The husband is not comfortable with this type of a lifestyle, and she wants that lifestyle. How is he going to manage? One friend of mine is complaining to me, you know, I got married into a wealthy family, and I'm regretful, very regretful, that I married into a wealthy family. So I asked him, why are you so regretful? He says, now every now and then, my father-in-law wants to take all his children for Umrah. So I said, what's the Mubarak? What's wrong in that? So he said, well, you need to understand, you know, listen to the full story first, then you tell me. So he's telling me, you know what, I'm working in a corporate environment. I'm a CA, I'm working in a corporate environment, right? I'm working in a corporate environment, there's one young girl there, there's a girl there, and she's gone for Umrah 1.5 months, 2 months, right? Going to come after that. What happens to my mind? And these girls are making four advances. You know, we're supposed to be having breakfast together. Can't we book out here? Now what happens? See what happens? They brought up with that type of culture, mixing up like animals. Right? So they behave in the workplace also, they behave the same. So how long are we supposed to be holding our sabr? So I had to tell that person at CA, who it was, buy, you take the ticket now, if you're listening to me, you buy your ticket now and fly straight. Even if you get a cut in the salary, don't worry about it, but you go straight. So he came back and he said, Mullah, I think it was the best thing that I did. I know it was heavy on my pocket, but that was the best thing I did. My mind is clear, I'm feeling much more relaxed, and I was about to slip in haram, Allah Pak saved me. Now we don't realize that this child has to go into another life, another home. What will be the situation in that other home? Will she be able to manage? Will she be able to adjust herself? So what we are talking about today, that story is not ending, right? The story is about kindness, love, and number two, the azmat of Allah Ta'ala. That's the essence of Islam, essence of deen. So it's a daughter-in-law and the daughter, right? And everybody wants to be the favorite, right? The style today is, I don't want to be proved wrong. Somehow I must be, I must justify, prove myself right. I don't want to be proved wrong. It happens to everybody, a child, to an adult, to a learned person, to an unlearned person, but everybody is right. Nobody wants to admit guilt. No, I made a mistake, I slipped up. Nobody, how are you going to be Islam? Everybody wants to justify himself. Everybody wants to prove his innocence. How are you going to correct? How are you going to rectify? That means we're working in the wrong places. We're working with malaika. They are the ones, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرُمْ. They don't go against the command of Allah Ta'ala. But if it is that we are working with human beings, then they do some mistakes, they correct themselves. Tabu wa aslu. Why Allah says tabu wa aslu? They make tawbah and they correct themselves. They make tawbah and they correct themselves. But now we do the mistake and we don't correct ourselves, don't rectify ourselves, then how do we come on? It's very difficult to come on. You know, people that have got phones, right? I'm speaking quite extensively on this phone. But from all the people that I've asked now, whoever's got the smartphone, etc., they are slipping into some wrong or the other. Sometimes or the other, they are slipping into some wrong, no matter what need they have got. Sometimes I tell them, that if it is a genuine need, then leave it to the workplace and don't carry it. Learn to make istighfar. Because you got no control as to the contents that are appearing. You may just delete it straight away. But I say your mind and your heart has it registered that photo. Your mind and your heart has registered that photo. Now to erase the thing becomes a problem. You went to do something good, but in the process you did some haram. And you knew that this is a possibility that this can happen. Not that you didn't know about it. You knew that this was a possibility that this could happen, but yet you took the chance and you went. And then, you know, you take a chance. It's not the thing to be doing in your deen, especially. You don't take a chance. Sometimes you see you take a chance in your deen. Man said, no, I'm just taking a chance. Going to this people that take drugs, you know, I'll just take a chance. Just hang out there. But the moment he went there once, second time, said, let me take one pull. And then after that, before he knows it, and he's hooked already, now to take him out of it is a problem. Such a big problem now taking. So these things are also addiction. So we don't realize that it's an addiction. To get yourself out of it is a genuine problem. You can't leave it. From the 40, 50 things that you will look, there'll be at least 5 things that are either the photos will be wrong, or the contents will be wrong, or the message will be complicating. Something will stick in your mind. And now to erase it becomes another problem. You can't erase that thing. It's so difficult to erase that thing. See, that's why Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Qurazi, rahimahullah, he says that the greatest ibadat is to refrain from wrong. The greatest ibadat is to refrain from wrong. We don't realize that one wrong we do, it can erase the goodness, the noor, the splendor of years of goodness. We don't realize it. And then the heart is just covered up with all that muck. Are you doing things, but you don't have that level of clarity, that iman is not like how it was. That motivation and drive is not like how it was. Everything is just falling apart. But we don't realize that this is the area that we need to attend to. Why this could happen? Like I say, you won't risk it. You know that there's some bombing happening somewhere. So let me just go for the fun, just to observe. You're not going to take a chance. Because you know, something may just touch you. And that may be the end of you. You don't take a chance with that. So when you don't take a chance for your physical well-being, then, you know, so much are you worried about your physical well-being that you want to distance and you want to mask and do everything, even though it may be against some hadith. But you want to do that just for your physical well-being. I ask you, if that's the case, then what are you supposed to be doing for your imani well-being? If you're so thorough about your physical well-being, I say, isn't there Allah Ta'ala around? You're worried about the police, worried about the law. But is Allah not around? When Allah Pak is around, then are you worried about your imani well-being? Or you feel, no, I've got an immunity. I can't fall. I can't fall. Do you have that immunity? If you have that immunity, then show me that immunity. You got that. You may go and you may be totally immune. Anyway, coming to the story again, right? So, this daughter-in-law that just come to the house, showing out with the two elements, muhabbat. Promotion of love, kindness. Promotion of love and kindness. So she comes into the house, and like I said, I know that day there was a lot of constraint, right? So the jar of ghee that they prepare, right, that must pull right through the ear. Made one time, and it must pull right through the ear. One jar of ghee, right? Now, every day that it is used, 1 pound or half a kilo of ghee has been used. But that time I remember the constraints that we were living in, that one jar that must be there. Now she went to pull the jar of ghee, and her luck, I think, fell, and the floor was not in the right state, right? The whole floor got covered, she can't reuse that ghee. In the meanwhile, the daughter is there. The daughter seen that the daughter-in-law, that's what happened, right? Now, what is the immediate response of the daughter, right? What is the immediate response? She's come into the house, the daughter-in-law, and she's made a mess up, right? The whole year's provision for ghee, that's gone. But what was the immediate response of this daughter? See, now that's what I'm showing, muhabbat, kindness and muhabbat. What? You got kindness and muhabbat? That kindness and muhabbat will teach you. You don't need a teacher after that. For everything, I don't say you don't need a teacher, but for everything, every step, you don't need. So what she did now, you know, in those days they were using coal stoves, right? So she took out the soot from the coal stove and she covered it up and she brushed one plate over it, right? So when that happened now, immediately there was a noise when that whole ghee container broke, so there was a big noise. So someone had to go and report to the old lady, okay, this is what happened exactly. Give a report, kalguzari must give. So someone had to give the kalguzari, okay, this is what happened. So the child came to see, so just what the child saw, it saw that there was that soot and there was a plate that was brushed over it, small plate. Or if that's a problem, not a problem. But now she did two things, you know, that's so soaked in Islamic ethos. One was she won the heart of this daughter-in-law. I ask you, didn't she win the heart? That cover up, you know, she did a cover up story, but didn't she win the heart of this daughter-in-law? Although it was financially it was a big loss, but she covered it up and covered it so smartly, so nice. So I'm saying now, we do everything. Today we are doing things just for the eye. Clothing must be better, the people like it, admire it. I must look at the mirror all the time. Furniture must be nice, the bath must be nice. But have you got the right values? What is going to be answerable, you're going to be answerable in the cover. Have you got the right values to spend on the poor, on the right areas? Are you doing that? Or just the change you're spending there? And the main is about beautifying yourself, how you look, how you appear, how your house appears. That's the greater concern. Every 10-15 years must change the whole thing. Is that the primary concern? Oh, is the primary concern values? I saw a poor person. I got 5,000, let me give it to him. 10,000, let me give it to him. No, I can't spend like that. Money doesn't go on tree. But then that money goes in trees when it's about your how your appearance is. But to improve my appearance, I need to do that. But to spend in the areas where Allah Pak is going to ask you, Rasulullah Pak will be betraying Rasulullah. One of the things will change and all that, you can give that. But now we have to do something about the house. We can't be living in a jondol, yeah? That's how our mindset is today. But what khidmat, how much we can serve, what can we do for people, what will be helpful for us in the hereafter. One person came and told me the dream this morning. Told me that his wife saw the dream, that Rasulullah Paksam came into the house with someone, very beautiful appearance, etc., etc. And Rasulullah Paksam came with this person here. And as they came in, so they had some ornaments, like, you know, vase and that. They broke all these things here. And then he's explained that by maktabs on the poor, work on that. Oh, come up, I don't want to say exact words, but this is what I remember. Poor maktabs, work on that. But why did Rasulullah do that? In the dream, why did he do that? He said, by this is not a place for you to be spending. The looks, how it looks, and what people will say, and the compliments that they will give. That's not the way to go. But if there is a way to go, then spend on this area. Poor, educate them, bring them up, give them a home. This is the way we need to be thinking. One person is telling me that his boss wasn't a very, very pious person. Those days now. And he saw now that the boss saw that man doesn't have a home. So, right, see that house, go look at that house and give me your 2 cents worth of that house. What do you think? As an investment. So the man says that, I mean, I looked at the house, and I thought, but that house is very good for me. You know? So as I went and saw the house, you know, it's a very good place and the location and all that. So, all right, how much cash have you got? So I got 20,000. So, all right, that house is yours. You pay me when able. 500 or whatever. So about 190 or 200,000. Or 200 and 100, just pay me, and that house is yours. But you see this. Really, you know, I feel it's much better than doing your house a million times. Did your house like this and that. That mark that you leave in the heart of that worker, that was nothing. And this person brought me like this. He gave me a freehold property, gave me a house to live in, gave me a shelter. Gee. I said, no, I pay my workers before the sweat dries. You know, before I pay them. That's in its place. But how loyal the person is, how truthful he is, he's working for you all the time. But a little bit of kindness, a little bit of things now, if you were in his shoes and someone gave you a freehold property house, now he's talking about 30 years ago, when the house price was very much lesser. The man took out 200,000, paid him cash. Whatever you want to pay, pay it. If you can't pay it, also mark, right? So he did whatever he did, not a very pious person, but look at the kindness. See his kindness. This is the thing that we need to bring into the structure of the. Otherwise, it is like a soulless body. Imagine a body, but without a soul. Can it continue? Can't continue. You won't attract anybody. You won't attract anybody. Give all the literature and whatever else, but you won't attract. So the whole deal will become an entertainment. His bayan is too good. And this literature is too good. So that's the only thing that you have in Islam. Just the excitement, the thrill for that moment. After that, application, the true values to be passed on, you won't get that. So this, I've been speaking about this old bayan. So one thing that she brought is she won the person's heart, right? She won the person's heart. Number two, the second great thing that this woman did is she covered the fault. The fault, right? But she covered the fault, and she covered it so beautifully. The one that is giving the report to the head of the house, she's got a wrong story. The meanwhile, this person felt so nice. Hey, mashallah, you know, my spirit today, if this person could ever default me, they could have defaulted me this moment, right? But they covered me so nicely. I messed it up, really, I messed it up. And how nicely they covered me, they gave me that respect, they gave me that muhabbat, they gave me that izzat. Now that is called Islam. That is called muhabbat. That is called the essence of our deen. And we're doing everything else, but this essence of deen, promoting muhabbat, talking about it. Today, we're just starting, or tomorrow we'll start a Kitab of Janais, you know. So I'm trying to work out the whole ta'aleem, the sequence, and the whole desire for Rasulullah. You look at every stage, be good, be kind, go and visit the person, make dua for him, give him some words of comfort. You can make khidmat for the person, make khidmat for him. If he's deceased, what you do, how you console. So everything about muhabbat, kindness.